All right. It's time for the Word. We're just going to look in the Word together. I could try to impress you, but the Bible says this. It's not about enticing words of man's wisdom. It's about the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. When God speaks to you and me through His Word, it changes us. I can listen to a motivational speaker all day, and I can still go home and eat two pizzas, all right? I'm not moved permanently by that, okay? By someone's encouragement or positive words. But when the Holy Spirit does a work in my life, when He works in my life, something happens. And that's why we take time every Sunday morning to look into the Word. It's not about entertainment. It's about what is God speaking to you right now? How is God revealing Himself to you right now? I love the story about the little girl who was in Sunday school. She's a kindergartner. And the teacher said, I'm going to pass out some paper and everybody gets crayons. I want you to draw something from the Bible. And of course, the teacher's walking around and all the kids are coloring and drawing and all that goes along with that. And she stopped and she said to one little girl, what are you drawing? And she said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher said, sweetie, nobody knows what God looks like. And she said, they will in a minute. All right? That's what's happening this morning. God is going to reveal Himself to you over the next few minutes. He's going to speak to you to make you a better disciple, a better husband, a better father, a better mom, whatever in life you do, He's going to make a better one out of you because of His Word. Because of His Word. Not because of me, because of His Word. So we've been this is our third week in a series we're calling Margin. And margin is pretty simple, all right? Margin is, the definition that we've been using is very simple. The space between my load and my limits. When you get loaded down, and you're carrying life, right? Everything that goes along with life. Paying the bills and going to work and being a mom and being a dad and being a student or whatever you do. And everything, all the peripheral stuff that goes with that, that's the load on our lives, right? We all have a limit. And if we do this the way God told us to, then we have some space between us and the cliff. Too many people get too close to the cliff. They're carrying the load and they don't have enough limit there. They don't have enough space between them and their limit. And so we see people all the time that get addicted, that pick up habits, that have an affair, that you name it. It could go a million different ways. But when we don't have enough space between our load and what our limit is, then something bad is going to happen. We have to be careful to make sure that we honor the Lord the way He wants us to honor Him and the way we live our lives. We said this both Sundays in this message series, and I want to share it this morning as well. If you are stressed out, you are either not doing what God told you to do, or you're not doing it the way God told you to do it. There's really no other options there. If I am stressed out all the time, I'm not doing life the way God told me to do it. I may be doing too much, which we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. And there, God wants your life and my life to be productive. And there are some secrets to being productive in our lives. We want to be more effective with less stress. Anybody want that? You just want to be more effective with less stress in your life. Amen to that one. I want to accomplish more by doing less. Now that just seems like an oxymoron. Now, but we're happier when we're more productive. We're always happier. I'm more happy when I'm more productive, when good things are being accomplished. Now, the Bible doesn't always use the word productive. It uses the word stewardship or fruitfulness. Stewardship is when we take what God gives us and we use it to the fullest. We take our talents, we take our time, we take our finances, we take our health, we take what God has given us, and then we use it to the fullest. We take care of it in the best possible way. Now, God is responsible for what He gives you, but you are responsible for what you do with it. I could give you $1 million today. I can't, but somebody could give you $1 million today, all right? Somebody could do that, and you could waste it by next week. It'd be fun, and then you got nothing left. Now, the person who gave it to you said, hey, I want to help you. I want to help the rest of your life for the next 30, 40, 60, 80 years, whatever you got left. I want to help you. But then you have to decide what you're going to do with that. Am I going to be a good steward of that, which would make me fruitful? My life would be fruitful if I handle that the right way. Now, fruitfulness is one of those things. It's a theme that Jesus talks about a lot. He spends a lot of time talking about it. As a matter of fact, at the very end of Jesus' life, he takes time to talk to the people that are closest to him, his disciples, to explain to them that he wants them to be fruitful throughout their lives. So John chapter 15 says this, I am the true vine. This is Jesus talking. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. We got to stay connected to Jesus. Fruitfulness. He wants us to be fruitful, but he points out some stuff in there that has to happen. Fruitfulness is a biblical way of talking about you and me having a productive life. Now, that may mean that God wants you to build a business where you're going to make a lot of money. That may be the way, one way, one aspect that God's going to make you productive. But God also wants you to be productive in sharing the love of Christ in your home. He wants you to be productive and fruitful in the way you handle other people, the way you deal with other people. He's made us to be fruitful. What we have done in our culture is overload ourselves thinking that we're being fruitful when we're really unproductive. We're not producing the fruit that God wants us to produce. Stress and hurry. If somebody asks you the question, how are you doing today? And you go, whoo. You don't have time to hear what all is going on in my life. Something is out of kilter in your life. I'm not being fruitful in the way God has called me to. He made me to be fruitful. He shaped me to be fruitful. He expects me to be fruitful. He wants me to live a productive, fruitful life. Then I have to make decisions. Now, a non-fruit producing person, believer, is a contradiction. If I say I'm a believer in Christ, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, I know him, I have a relationship with Jesus, but my life is not producing fruit, then I'm probably, it's a contradiction, I'm probably not doing life right. So then the question is, how can I be fruitful? What can I do in my personal life to be fruitful every single day? We're just going to look at the Word. I got no motivation for you except God's Word. Now, here's the deal. God's Word, the Bible tells us, is like a knife. It starts cutting away at our lives. So when we are open to God's Word, He will start to cut away the parts that don't need to be there. So it's up to us to say, Lord, I want you to work in my life. Okay, four conditions for fruitfulness. Here's the first one. I must cultivate some roots. Got to grow roots. I got to grow deep. Look at what the Bible says here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. But they delight in the law of the Lord. Talking about righteous people. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. It's the picture of a tree, a majestic tree planted beside a river. It's producing fruit every season. When the drought comes, it doesn't lose its leaves because it's drawing from the river and it prospers. This tree continues to prosper for many, many years. Now drought comes, but if I'm planted, if I got roots by the river, if I'm close to Jesus, then when droughts come and pressures come and stresses hit my life, I've got something to draw on besides just me. The problem happens when I have too many stressors and too much pressure and I'm depending on me to to handle it all. I don't have the spiritual roots that I need. I'm just drying up on the inside. We've all seen pictures of the giant sequoia redwood trees in Northern California. And they grow to be hundreds of feet tall, and they put holes in them where you can drive through like it's a tunnel. Just amazing trees. They are made to withstand drought and withstand fire. They can withstand a forest fire. There are actually trees that half of the tree is burned away, and that tree just keeps growing strong. It grows for hundreds of years and hundreds of feet tall. What's the secret of the redwood tree? You know where I'm going. Roots. But here's the interesting thing about those redwood roots. They only go between 6 and 12 feet deep. Now, this tree can be hundreds of feet tall. And it only has just roots that are shallow and they run out. Here's what's important, though. Redwood trees always grow in groves. Where you find one redwood tree, you're going to find a second redwood tree. And then you're going to find another one, and another one, and another one. And there will be dozens of them growing together. And those roots that aren't that deep start to grow together and intertwine. And they hold on to one another. So when wind comes and fire comes, drought hits, they're holding on to one another. Every one of us, we got to grow roots down deep. We got to grow in Christ. But we also need to be connected with other people in our lives. We need a small group. We need a church family. We need somebody we can pick up the phone and call and say, I'm struggling in this area of temptation, or I'm struggling because the load is heavy right now. I didn't see this coming, and I want to be connected to somebody else so that when the fires are there, when the drought is hitting, I've got somebody else holding me up as well. We got to get our roots deep, but we got to get them connected to other people. Let me ask you this question. Are you connected? Are you connected in a way that another person can call you and say, what's up? And you're going to be honest with them. Because can we just tell the truth this morning? Most of us, when somebody calls us and they say, how you doing? We make up some little lie about our lives. I'm doing good. Our voice always goes up. I'm good. Good. And that's how the person on the other end knows you're lying like a dog right to their face. Because everything is not good all the time. We need other people. We got to grow roots deep in Christ, but we got to be connected to other people. All right, here's number two. I must eliminate the weeds in my life. This is a gardening lesson this morning. I got to eliminate the weeds. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. This is a story that Jesus tells, and it's about fruitfulness. It's all about margin. This story was so important in Scripture that it is told in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When the Bible tells you the same thing four times, you need to listen. You remember the fourth time your mama came in your room and said, get your hiney out of bed. Somebody tells you something the fourth time, perk up and listen. This is pertinent stuff. Jesus tells this story, and four different people record it. The farmer goes out and he sows some seed. He spreads the seed out. He broadcasts it. It lands in four different types of soil. And he says that these four different types of soil are four different responses to the gospel. In other words, there's four different kinds of heart conditions. There's the hard heart. There's the impulsive heart. There's the crowded heart. And then there's the good heart, which is what we all hope for. The seed is the word of God. And the seed falls on different kinds of ground. It falls on the hard ground, the impulsive, the crowded That's what we're going to talk about for a second. The crowded ground. And one of those kinds of soil, that crowded ground, is filled with weeds. And the Bible says that other seed fell among thorns or weeds that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. The weeds were growing fine. You ever grow a garden? Weeds will thrive. They need no help. They don't need your fertilizer. They don't need your tilling. They don't even need water. They can just be a drought and the weeds are just beautiful out there. You're like, I'm just growing a garden of weeds this year. But it will kill the thing you planted. My dad always loved growing a garden. It took me many years to decide I was going to grow anything again after I finished working in his garden. He taught me to hoe the garden. You go through every row, the peas and the corn and the beans and the tomatoes, and you pull up the weeds. Why we got to pull up? They're little weeds because they take nutrients. Because if we leave them there, they'll overtake what we want to grow. The weeds in this case, when Jesus is telling us this story, the weeds are the worries and the cares, even the pleasures and the hobbies of life. There's so many weeds, man. Those things will grow. You don't have to take care of worry. It'll just show up in your life. You're like, I'm trying not to worry, and it's just blossoming and flourishing, and you're just worried about all kinds of stuff. The cares of life, there's all kinds of problems. But then there's pleasures. Pleasures will pop up, and hobbies will pop up, and I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And I'm not focused in on the seed. It'll choke out the seed, and it'll kill it. You can't just plant seeds. You got to remove weeds. Can't just go plant a seed. I got to remove the weeds in my life. What are the things in your life and mine right now? Let's ask ourselves this question. What are the things that are choking out the fruitfulness of our lives? The stuff that is causing us to be unfruitful. Is it busyness? Is it overspending? We could go down the list. You can figure it out. What are the things in your life that are keeping you from being productive, not just monetarily and not just at work, but with our families, with reaching our friends for Christ? What is it that keeps us from being, what are the weeds that are growing in our lives? We may need to go home and do some weed pulling this afternoon, all right? Maybe a time that we just have to go, okay, we got to get it out of there. You can pull all the weeds and next week you come back and there's more weeds in the garden. Every single time, there will be more weeds in the garden. So this is a constant thing. We got to be paying attention. We got to be pulling weeds. Charles Garfield wrote a book called Peak Performance, and he studied people all over the world, like just great performers, athletes, musicians, coaches, everybody. And he came up with one common characteristic that they all had, these peak performers. That one common characteristic was they all lived a balanced life. They had their life in balance. They didn't do one thing too much. One thing wasn't controlling their life. Jesus was all about balance. We need rest and we need work. The Bible tells us to do both. We need to spend and we need to save. We need to give and we need to save. The Bible gives us these two. So there's a balance here that God's asking us to meet. In the beginning of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, I love this scripture. He said, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. That's what a balanced life looks like. He grew in wisdom. He learned some stuff along the way. He started to grow and get smarter and understand how to handle situations in his life. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. His body grew. Our body's a part of this thing. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God. His relationship with God was important. He grew in favor with man. He understood people. He spent time with people. He understood how to encourage and how to build up and how to handle conflict and how to move forward. It was a balanced life. If you think you're burning the candle at both ends, then you probably think you're brighter than you really are. If I'm not balanced, if I'm burning, I'm thinking, "Woo, man, I'm producing light." You're probably not producing as much light as you wish or as you hope or as you think. Here's the third condition of fruitfulness. I must cooperate with God's pruning in my life. Now, this one is not fun, all right? Let's just be honest. I got to cooperate with God's pruning in my life. Jesus said, "I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." We just stop right there. He cuts off every branch that does not produce fruit. Now, what is pruning? Listen, I'm not a botanist. I don't know. If you got fruit trees, don't ask me. I don't know. I can kill them for you if you need them dead. It's not my thing. But here's what pruning is all about. It's not just cutting off the dead branches. Pruning a tree or a rose bush, sometimes you have to cut off the living branches to stimulate the proper kind of growth. Pruning is about increasing productivity, fruitfulness. Now, it's not an option. If I'm a peach farmer, I got to understand pruning. I can't just let these peach trees grow any old way they want to. I got to make sure I prune them the right way. If I've got rose bushes, they have to be pruned the right way. Jody and I had some rose bushes. We bought a house one time, had some beautiful roses out front. We don't know anything about roses, and we're just like, "That's beautiful. Can't believe these people left these beautiful roses. This is awesome. Look at these beautiful roses." Next year, they were 9 feet tall and had 6,000 tiny little ugly flowers on them. And so the next time I saw a gardener guy, he was doing the lawn next to ours, I said, "Hey, man, can you prune that?" And he said, "I really need a lot more time than I have this morning." And I said, just whack it. Just do something to it, because it was not beautiful anymore. We thought we were just going to get to watch it grow. That's not the way it works. I can't just let my life go on autopilot. God's got to prune some things along the way. If you're going to be productive in your life, you're going to have to go through some pruning every now and then. I heard about one guy. He had rose bushes in his front yard, and he had a friend who was an expert in roses, right? And so he said, "Would you come over to my house, and would you prune my rose bushes for me?" And so he's thinking the expert is going to come over there and cut off some dead leaves and some dead branches and stems, and then he's going to walk away. No. He comes over, and he starts cutting all the dead stuff off, and then he starts cutting live stuff. He starts cutting off stems. There are flower buds that are about to open, and he whacks them off. There's a pile of green stuff on the ground. The owner of the rose bushes was in shock, like, "He has destroyed my rose bushes." He later said that after this pruning, his roses produced the most beautiful flowers they had ever produced before. And so he asked this guy, what's the mistake that most people make when they prune their rose bushes? He said, "They're too timid to cut back what really needs to be cut." There are times in my life I've got to cut back to be more fruitful. I've got to decide what has to happen. Cut off some areas of success. Sometimes God will cut off an area of success in your life and mine in order to prune us so we can be more productive later on in our lives. It's never fun because it's painful. It'd be great if God just said, "I'm going to get all the dead stuff off. I'm just going to clean this up." It's not what he does. He starts cutting things that we think are working, that looks like it's producing, but God is looking at us and saying, I know you have potential inside there, and I'm going to have to cut off some of this." And we start getting confused, and we say, "Don't you love me anymore, God?" And we get angry with him, and we, "God, why are you setting me on a shelf, and what are you doing, and why are you bringing these problems into my life, and why are you bringing this delay into my life?" It's a huge mistake. It's a huge mistake to think that pruning is punishment. God is not out to punish you. Jesus took care of your punishment and my punishment on the cross. Somebody say amen. God is not interested in punishing us. Anything that we bring on ourselves, we bring on ourselves, right? God is not thinking, all right, he messed up, so I'm just going to zap him with something bad. That is not the way God is doing this. But God will prune us. Pruning is for the future. Punishment is for the past. When God starts taking things out of your life and mine, it's for our good so that we can be more productive. We can produce more fruit. Pruning is positive and punishment is negative. Pruning says, God is God saying to you and me, I believe in your potential. I believe in you. I believe in you so much that I'm going to cut some stuff away so that you can produce more later. Now here's number four. I must patiently wait. I've got to patiently wait. We hate waiting, don't we? We've said this before. We hate red lights. We hate the dummy that's taking our order at Wendy's. Why can't you just read my mind? I love what my friend said. I'm just going to go to the drive-thru and tell them to give me $5 worth of whatever you want me to have, because that's what you're going to do anyway. All right? All right? We hate waiting, and God uses waiting in such a special way. If I want to be productive, if I want my life to be fruitful, I have to be okay with slowing it down. We read it last week. Be still and know that I am God. God didn't say, hurry up and know that I am God. He said, be still. Ooh, we have not been trained that way. That goes against everything in us. What do you mean, slow down, be still? I must patiently wait. Verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you, key word in this verse, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, sometimes God is going at this pace and we're going at 10 times that pace. I'm not going to do it. We're just running right past him, right? And we're going, hey, come on, God. And God's like, I'm the leader. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I got to remain in him. Don't give up on the process. Stay in contact with God. Depend on him. Keep plugged in. Pray, wait, expect. Look for what God is doing. God will reward you at the proper time. The fruit will come at the proper time, but I've got to wait. Growing takes time. Growing takes time. Growing takes time. Growing takes time. When my son Eli graduated from high school, we were debating on what to give him for graduation. We're like, well, we could give him this or we could do that. So we decided that we were going to give him a certain amount of money, all right? It was a large amount of money for us, but it was graduation, and we're like, we're going to give you this money. So I said, but here's the deal. I'm not really giving you this much. I'm putting this much in a retirement account that you can have when you're 70. So I'm not giving you, I'll just tell you. I said, I'm not giving you $1,000. I'm giving you $172,000 at 8% interest. But you can't touch it. Dad and Mom are giving you $172,000 for graduation. In 52 years, it's yours. That's patience right there. I hope that the money is still in the retirement account, all right? I'm just hoping. It takes time for that money to become productive. Because you look at it after the first year and it's $1,008. And you're like, I could have had a lot more fun than $8. But time compounds that interest and it becomes valuable. It becomes so valuable. Some of us are so busy and working so hard and trying so much to accomplish all that needs to be accomplished and to keep everybody happy that we're outrunning God. God is just saying, slow down a minute. Growing takes time. John 12, 24 says this, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." I just read recently about a group of scientists that were studying some Native American ruins from 800 years ago, and they found a small clay vessel. And in that small clay vessel, 800 years old, were a handful of seeds. They planted one of those seeds, 800-year-old seeds. That seed produced a delicious, very large orange squash. 800 years that seed had been dormant. Now, I don't think God's going to do that to you. But it just proves the point. Productivity takes time. I gotta put down some roots. I got to get the weeds out. I got to cooperate with the pruning. And I just got to slow down and be patient and let God do His work. Just let God do His work. Just let God move and let God work. It's not just about what I'm accomplishing. It's about what God is accomplishing in me. And when I get ahead of that, I can't really enjoy life. I'm living too close to the edge. And I don't know when I'm going to misstep. And this whole thing, this load that I'm carrying is going to crumble. And everybody's going to look at me and go, "We saw that one coming. Only drive 100 for so long." Why not slow down and give God some room to work here? What is it that needs to be pruned out of your life? Here's the cool thing. Sometimes I can get ahead. I can say, you know what? I see this part of my life. God is speaking to me, and I need to prune that out myself so God doesn't have to do it. Because when God does it, it just hurts more. Because we're fighting it the whole way. Prune our lives and weed our lives and put down some roots and let God work. And I believe He will. I believe He will. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be real upfront with you. I'm not very good at this one this morning. I want God to do it now. I like that scripture in the book of Acts that says, "And suddenly God showed up and worked." That's what I like. God just, boom, just do it. That's just not the way He does it. I like the microwave, and He likes the slow cook stuff. So we got to give room for Him to work. I want you to stand with me if you would. Let me ask you a couple of questions before we pray. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I want you to know Him. Okay, that's most important. If you don't know Jesus, if you're at home this morning, watching online, talking to you, everybody in the room here this morning, if you don't know Jesus today, I want you to know Him, because this all starts with a relationship with Jesus. It's as easy as A, B, C. I have to admit that I've sinned. I believe on Jesus, and I confess Him as Lord of my life. It's that easy. I just admit, I believe, I confess. So you pray that prayer in your own way and start your relationship with the Lord today. Now here's the question I want to ask you. Are there weeds right now in your life that you need to pull up? Are there weeds in your life? Is there some pruning that God is doing that you're fighting? When God prunes something, He's saying, "This is permanent. I need to really get this out of your life, because this is not going to make you the fruitful believer that I want you to be. I gotta do some surgery and get rid of this stuff." And it's going to hurt. But is it there, and is it time to cooperate with what God is doing and let God work in your family? I'm going to let somebody off the hook this morning. You are not the savior of your family. That's Jesus. You cannot save and protect everybody and everything that's going on. If I could be the savior, I wouldn't need him. I got to let go of that and let God work. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your blessings on us today. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and care about us and understand us better than we understand ourselves. And Lord, we want to put down roots. We want to put down roots in Christ, and we want to be connected to others. We want to pull the weeds that are choking out the good seeds. Lord, we want to let you prune us, and we want to slow down and let you do your work in us. And we just put it all in your hands, Lord, and we trust you today to accomplish whatever it is you want to accomplish in our lives. Lord, we want to be good stewards, but Lord, we can only be stewards of what you give us, and that's what we're going to do. We're just going to take care. We're going to do our best to take care of what you give us. And Lord, if you've given us a family and a job and a home and cars and health, Lord, we're just, our goal is to just take care of those things, be good stewards, and be fruitful and be productive in every facet of our lives, and let go of the hurry and the fear and the worry and the stress and the pressure, and just let you do your thing, God. And we stand on your promises and on your word, and we receive your help today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. Amen. I want to focus in on one thing. One thing. This afternoon, tomorrow morning, whatever works. Identify some weeds in your life. Some things that need to be pulled out. We just need to get rid of this. This is a problem in my life. Could be as something as simple as, I'm not picking on anybody, okay? It could be something as simple as Netflix has taken over my life. It could be I need to get on a budget. My impulsive spending is a weed that causes me and the rest of the family, I need to pull that out of there. All right? What are the weeds that need to be pulled up? Maybe they're small ones, maybe they're big ones. All right? But we all got them because they come back. But I want to encourage you to take a little bit of time today, tomorrow, and just pull some weeds. Just pull some weeds. Now, here's what's going to happen. You pull a weed and you go, oh, okay, that was painful, and I'm doing it. And then tomorrow, the same weed is going to pop up again. You're going to have to deal with it again. And you're going to feel like, well, I failed. I messed up. Who cares? Pull the weed again and do it again. I love what the old preacher said. If you have to ride the altar of repentance to heaven, hang on. Just keep saying, I'm going to do better. I'm moving on. Lord, I need your help. I give this area to you again, and I'm going to do it. Get somebody else involved. When are you going to pull some weeds? When are you going to pull some weeds? Father, bless us as we go and have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.